Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Judson Workman, and I am with Wright State University out in Dayton, Ohio. And I am representing the SARDI program. And before I get into my presentation, I did include my presenter disclosure statement. I have no relationships to disclose, work for Wright State University only. And I just quickly would like to acknowledge the following folks who helped with securing funding for this project and also helped with writing up results and with publications. Joe Wilson, Joanne Ford, Dr. Huber, Dennis Moore, and Teresa Mayer. All have been very helpful over the last few years with this project. As you have heard already, I'm not going to go through a lot of information on usage, but we all have heard throughout the presentations today that national studies and also several longitudinal studies have shown that there are large numbers of youth drinking alcohol. Large numbers are also participating in binge drinking, and a number are heavy drinkers. And when you look at tobacco use, there's also multiple studies showing that there are increases in both cigarette use and the smokeless tobacco products. And with marijuana, we also have found that there are increases in the 3 years that the Monitoring the Future study surveyed, which are 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, and a pretty large number of folks using marijuana within the last month. So there is a need for prevention, obviously, and one of the programs that we've developed over the years at Wright State is called PALS, as an acronym that stands for Prevention Through Alternative Learning Styles. And originally, our program was designed to work with youth who are dealing with disability-related issues. And as those students were mainstreamed over the last few years and put into more of a traditional classroom, we've added a component which is more geared not to just a disability issue kind of focus, but more on how different students learn. And we've applied some theories of learning styles to our program and have kind of modified it slightly over the years to incorporate different learning approaches. And I'm just really quickly going to go through our program. These are the core areas of our training. We cover a lot of information related to prevention, all reputable sources, NIDA, CSAP, SAMHSA, CDC, and provide a really good thorough overview throughout the course of a day on prevention, goals of prevention, things of that nature. Our goals are to increase protective factors, increase resiliency within the youth, and decrease or remove risk factors. Also, we want to encourage the students to learn more about risks associated with alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, and then recognize different types of high-risk situations and be able to respond to negative peer pressure situations. What makes PALS a little bit unique is that we do have some other units in our training. It's a day-long training, and it kind of incorporates slightly different material depending on what your focus is as an agency. But we do cover learning styles. Multiple theories of how folks learn are reviewed, and we talk a little bit about how to identify your audience's learning styles, and we do a number of hands-on activities and a number of group activities to help the implementer of the program know what their audience is needing, and then we try to focus as many of our modalities or present the information as many modalities as possible to reach the widest of our audience. And idea is that if we can try to improve their strengths and work with their real high competencies, we can help them overcome some of their weaker areas. Another unique approach to our prevention program is a very thorough review on disability issues. These are just a few of the topics that we discuss. And again, depending on the environment that we're working in, some of these may not be as relevant. If we're working in a deaf community, for example, we're going to go into a lot more detail on topics like deaf culture, working with sign language, working with lip reading, and those kind of issues. The last kind of unique part of our program is looking at how to adapt or modify a prevention message. And this is just a very, very brief list of things that are simple suggestions that can be done. If you have a learner who is not a traditional learner who likes to do things hands-on, likes to be engaged in things actively, that might require a different focus. And if you have somebody who has some type of a disability issue, that might require some other type of an approach. Again, we go through a lot of material, a lot of examples that are specific to the needs of the implementers. We have done multiple studies with PALS, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. There is an article, and we have shown that our program is effective in helping at a within subjects model and a between subject model. Students who take our program learn and are statistically higher at the end of training at their knowledge level. And also, when we look at a group of students go through their program, they are significantly higher at the end of the training than they were at the beginning. So we can compare control group results with more of an within subjects group. Also, some of our previous findings show that the program does help to shift people's intentions to use, so that when they go through the training and they go through our program, they're less likely to intend to use in the future, which is what we wanted. And all of the different topic areas are alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana that we've been talking about so far. The current research, though, is related to PALS and looking at follow-up data. We have a lot of good evidence that the program works, but we wanted to see, does it last? And that's really important for a lot of us out there. We want to make sure that the program's having an impact over time. This is our current sample, a little smaller than the ones that were looked at earlier, but this is from our Ohio area, several school districts. All sixth grade students, and their mean age was about 11 and a half, mostly male and mostly Caucasian, and we did have, you know, representation of some other groups, but they were smaller. The PALS kids that went through the program, the prevention program, we did do a pre-survey at the beginning, we did a post-survey at the end of training, and then we did 1 year and 2 year follow-ups. We have what's called the comparison group that we're going to talk about a little bit also, which are students who came in the district during their 7th or 8th grade year. They did not participate in PALS, so they kind of are similar in a lot of respects. They're in the same classroom, same teachers, but they did not do anything with the PALS program. The only thing they did was complete a follow-up survey. So that's kind of the basics in terms of the sample. These are the time periods again. We administered the surveys prior to the PALS program, after PALS, and then at those two follow-up periods. And these are the main comparisons that we looked at, and I'll go through these a little bit more in detail, but pre to post changes in student intentions to use, again, using of alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. We looked at pre versus follow-up intentions to use. Did they change? And then post versus follow-up. And then we looked at all follow-up kids, a PALS group versus the comparison group. These are the basic questions. In high school, do you think you will drink alcohol? Another question, in high school, do you think you'll smoke cigarettes or use tobacco? And the last question is, in high school, do you think you will use marijuana? And those are the kind of core questions that we're going to be looking at. For our intentions to use variable, you can see there's bar graphs on the screen. Green is good. That's when kids say, no, I don't intend to use. Yellow is kind of a cautionary thing that could go either way. They might participate in using, they might not. Red is bad. And we did some statistical tests, some chi-square tests between these different time periods. Just looking at the bar graphs, you can see pre to post is pretty similar for alcohol. Pre to follow-up is kind of similar. But when you go out to 2 years follow-up, you have a lot more people saying, yes, I intend to use. And you have more people saying, eh, maybe. And fewer people saying, no, I have no intention. So when we did chi-square tests to look at these relationships at these different times, these were our outcomes. The pre to post comparison was statistically significant, and it was in the predicted direction. When we looked at the students at post-test, they had lowered intentions to use, which was what we wanted. When we looked at the pre to follow-up comparison, again, the difference was significant, and it was as predicted. So a lot of the kids that went through the PALS program said, no, I don't intend to use, and it was in the right direction. And then when we looked at the post, right after the PALS training, to the follow-up, things were a little bit off. And again, we did have a significant shift, but the shift was more kids saying yes and maybe. So not quite what we wanted. But as all of us probably have heard, there's a lot of maturational effects and pressure as we age that could contribute to that change. That has to be investigated further. This is our tobacco, intentions to use tobacco, and you can see, again, not a lot of people saying yes, but when we get out to the two-year follow-up, there's a lot of red at the top, which is not good. And when we do the tests for those three time intervals, the pattern is really similar. Pre to post-test, lowered intentions were seen. Pre to follow-up, lowered intentions. But when we compare the post-test scores with those follow-up scores, they were in the wrong direction again. More kids were saying, yeah, I might try it. Not a lot, but a few people did say they might. Or they said, yes, they intend to. Last variable is our marijuana variable. And this is a different beast. When you look at marijuana, we only had a total of like four people endorse, yes, I intend to use. So it really restricted our variance and it really had an effect on our outcomes. But looking at the bar graphs, you can see it's pretty straight across the board, not a lot of change. And when we ran our statistical tests, we had no significant differences at all. When we looked at the change and response patterns, pre to post was in the desired direction, but not significant. Pre to follow up also was in the desired direction, but not significant. Post to follow up was kind of just a mixed bag. Some people were saying yes, some people were saying no, and it really didn't have a consistent pattern. So, pretty good support so far, except for our follow up. So we wanted to look to see, do those kids that go through our program actually have lowered intentions compared to those kids that were in the same grade, were in the same school district, but they didn't go through PALS. So it's kind of the best comparison group that we had. And you can see here, when we looked at those three variables, PALS kids, the ones who went through our training, always reported lower intentions to use. And they were always statistically lower than our comparison group. So that was good. So that provided us some evidence that, hey, at least we're doing something right, because there are a lot more kids in the comparison group saying, yes, I want to use. Just real quickly, we did some very preliminary kind of exploratory regression and logistic regression analyses to see who are these kids that are using, what kind of variables predict those kids that are using. And we had, for alcohol, some social variables, and we had some more individual level variables that predicted. The social variables would be the number of times offered. Obviously, that probably has a little bit of an impact. Best friends drinking status, if they are best friends drinking a lot, that might impact them. But then it was interesting that last year alcohol use, intentions to use alcohol in high school, as well as their perceived harm of alcohol. So that meant if they thought it was dangerous or they thought it had some, you know, ill health effects, they were less likely to try it. Interestingly, the tobacco, last 30-day tobacco use was also a predictor, so that the kids who were using tobacco were also the ones that were more likely to intend to smoke not real surprising, I guess, but and gender and ethnicity also were involved. And then we have one more here, the predictors of tobacco use. Kind of similar. We also had the best friend's use as pretty high in the prediction equation. Use of tobacco in the last year and their intentions to use tobacco in the future, both were helpful in predicting who used. And past use of marijuana and past use of alcohol were predictors as well. Ethnicity was also somewhat helpful, but not real helpful. And again, with our logistic regression modeling, we really couldn't do anything with that with our marijuana because we only had 4 kids who intended to use, so that wasn't a valid procedure. But overall, a lot of information. We do have some good support that shows that the follow-up data, when we compared the follow-up kids, PALS versus our control group kids, they do have lowered intentions after going through our program, which is good. The effects are pretty good immediately, right after the program and shortly after the program. There's still lowered intentions, which is what we wanted. But the further out we go and measure follow-up, like 1 to 2 years, when we go to the 2-year period, it diminishes quite a bit. So what we're doing now is looking at developing some sessions that go through 7th grade and 8th grade and getting those things implemented to help the kids remind them, hey, these things are not going away, you're going to be exposed to them, they're a risk no matter what your age, and just try to incorporate that into their curriculum at 7th and 8th grade as well. And that's all I have. Thank you very much.